Welcome to the Fatherhood is Lit podcast, where we talk about the best of times, but also pay respect and learn from the crazier times. Our presence matters. Take a ride with us as we show the world how we make our presence felt. Fatherhood is Lit. What's good, Fatherhood? It's your boy, James Lopez, representing for the dope dads of the Fatherhood is Lit community. As you know, dad life is full of up and downs. Navigating that dad life isn't always easy, but real dads never fold. Today, we're talking about the balancing act Fatherhood has us perfecting with the homie, producer, DJ, and founder of Show Off Radio, Static Selector. What's good, Static?
How are you, man? Thanks for having me.
Yo, thank you for being here, man. You know, I love the movement. I love what you guys are about all the time. So thank you, man. This is huge for me. So, bro, you've come a long way since you moved to Brooklyn from Boston, man. Over 16 years ago? How does it feel seeing a billboard of your newest project on the billboards all over New York City, bro?
It feels good, man. You know, it's part of the evolution of marketing in my career and all that. Like, you know, we didn't really have the budgets to do all that before. And now I'm on Mass Appeal, and the Roc Nation team's been so great, you know, handling my management, and everything's just coming full circle, man. It feels good.
Now, how does it feel, even better yet, right? How does it feel seeing your daughter on that billboard, or a silhouette of your daughter on the billboard?
I mean, it's everything, man. Since this album was even an idea, I wanted to have her on the cover. You know, I'm not showing her face or anything, but it's still, like, people get the message and all that. So the balancing act is a lot more than just music. It's you know, juggling dad life and you know, this crazy lifestyle I live with touring, and obviously this year got turned upside down. Everybody's been inside, but you know, before this, the balancing act was already called that, and it was just, you know, madness jumping on and off planes, and even like down to her being born. Like, I landed in the city the day before, and you know, it was always just managing time and figuring, you know, I turned down a lot of things just to be with my kid and watch her grow up, you know.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to get into that because you're somebody that always make your presence felt. But how like, are you taking her to these spots? Like, or like, let's say, I don't know how this works, right? So let's say the marketing company puts up the billboard. Do they hit you up with all the locations?
Some of it. I mean, the label handles a lot of that, but some of, like, I have a list of some of them. So, you know, and it's cool when we're walking around the city and all of a sudden we just see one by surprise. That's dope.
Yeah, what does she say? Because I know she's only 5, so it's like, it's kind of crazy, yeah, but I'm sure she got that smile.
There's a clip on my Instagram where she's like walking down the street, and I was like, wait till you see it. And she's looking at it, she goes, what? She's like, who did that?
Yeah, how dope is that, bro? Like, was that better than actually getting your first billboard on something like that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, everything I do is for her, but just, she feels like so part of it when she sees videos of like other kids singing her song on the album and all that. Just, it makes her so happy. That's what it's about. And I had a conversation with someone earlier. I don't want to say who it was, but he's a very important person in my life, and he's a mentor and a hip hop legend. But he was talking about how some people kind of force their kids to do things they don't want to do, or like be on songs and this or that. Like, I haven't had to do that at all. Harley's all about it. Like, she's about it with this. Like, she loves, you know, being on TV and all that.
Yeah. How do you feel about that though? Because like right now with Instagram being the marketing channel that it is, or the marketing giant that it is, a lot of dads kind of like force their kids to do shit. Like, how does that make you feel?
I'm not with that. And you know what? There's probably people out there that judge me because, you know, she's very involved. Her mom's not really a fan of her being on my social media at all. We recently got into it about it. But you know, she is my daughter, and she wants to be involved. She can be involved. I'll put my foot on the brake a little bit compared to how much I was doing it, but she was part of this album, and I just, you know, the album promo is not going to be forever. So you're going to start seeing, you know, a little bit less of her on my social media, but you will see that I'm out doing things with her. I'm just going to keep her a little bit less on it. But anyway, I'm all about it, man. Some people want to keep their kids private, and I respect that too. Mm-hmm. But Harley's personality is very, it's just vibrant, and everybody, you know, she makes friends quick, and she can read people, and she knows the people she doesn't, you know, she can read bad energy. And I'm really proud of her, man. She's a little socialite.
Yeah, no, that's dope, man. Like, she was inspiring your music before she even came out the womb, bro. Like, can you tell me what made you sample her heartbeat for the track? Like, the first track that you did with her heartbeat before she was even born. Like, what gave you that idea, first of all?
I mean, just going to the you know, what is it, a sonogram?
Yeah, yeah.
I was just going to it and hearing it, and I just pulled on my phone and recorded it. And I was sitting in the studio, and I was like, why don't I just, like, you know, there's a rhythm to it. That's what a rhythm is the original rhythm of all time is a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just was like, let me build around it. And we made, like, a jazz record called Harley's Blues on my album Lucky 7 in 2015. And we did that about maybe, like, 2 or 3 months before she was born.
Yeah.
And then on the next album, we set it off with Harley's Blues Part 2 with her talking. So, you know, it's cool that some people are getting to see her grow up through my music and all that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she'll get to the age where she either wants to do music like full on or fall back and not be, you know, it's on her. I let her make her own decisions, but she's having a lot of fun right now.
That's what's up. And with that, with the heartbeat one, right? The first one, it's yeah. purely like an instrumental for about a minute, almost 2 minutes. Has any of your friends ever tried to like jump on it and freak it?
Nah, I don't want nobody to rap on that.
Yeah, you'll tell somebody like Joey Badass, nah, dawgs, like leave this pure like this, bro. I mean, this the way it is.
We didn't really make it a beat though. It's like a jazz.
Yeah, it's like a jazz, right? Like a smooth.
It's not
joint.
Necessarily something you're gonna rap on. The drums only play for a couple seconds.
Yeah, yeah. Now I can see somebody trying to like do like a little bit of, you know, maybe like a spoken word or something like that, because it has like that nice vibe to it.
I'm all set.
So now talking about like having cool friends like that, like what was it like presenting your daughter to your friends that first year? Like, were you that dad that the first, when she was born, you were like, yo, everybody stay away, like stay away for a whole month?
Before she was even born, she was lit, man. Like her baby shower was like, Joey was there and Term and like, Lord Sear DJed it. It was a party, man. Like, since before she was even born, it was popping. And then, you know, when she was born, just everybody came through to see her. Like, you know, it was crazy, man. So many people have been around Harley, like Prodigy was next door. So we used to always see him coming from the store, or like he'd come over and like just hang out with Harley, talk to her for a little while. And, you know, this is really back before she was really talking.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Prodigy.
Word.
And then, you know, obviously Uncle Joey and Uncle Q-Tip and Uncle Primo. She talks to Primo like every week.
Yeah, and the like I know with kids when they're younger, like they don't really care, right? Like they don't really see the popularity or how cool things are.
No, she doesn't understand any of it. I mean, she gets
how crazy is that,
every
bro?
Every time she sees like a billboard or something, she's like, "Daddy, they love our music." She always says "our," and then, you know, I'm like, "Yeah." She gets it. Like we'll be walking down the street and someone will be like, "Yo, pardon." Like people don't really want to interrupt you when you're with your kids, but you know they always show love, and she gets it. She like. She's not confused by it. At first, she'd be like, who is that? But now she just completely gets it.
How do you feel about that, though? Because, like, when I had Little Yachty's pops on the first couple episodes, and he told me, yo, you know, he was really proud of Yachty's, you know, fame, but he couldn't go out with his son anymore. Like, he couldn't eat pizza with him anymore. Yeah. So how do you feel about that?
It ain't that serious for me. Like, I'm not that famous, but, you know, it happens. I get spotted a lot out, and, you know, people are always pretty much respectful. It's never like a bad energy, so it's all love, man. I, it's cool.
And
my
you,
mom gets a kick out of it because everywhere me and my mom go, like, you know, people always say things, but like for someone like that, or even for like Joey or like certain people, they like literally can't go have a slice of pizza without asking for photos or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and that would probably be tough. Like you know, you're chilling with them, just having a good time. You bring your daughter along, and then you know you got a line of people harassing y'all. You know, it's kind of dope at one time. You know, one side of it is dope, but then the other side is like, nah.
That's in general. You just got to know how to move and where to go. You know.
So how do you balance that? Like, how do you balance that? Do you take her? Do you take her out with all of the guys? With like a Joey Badass?
Not with the guys, but she comes to certain things. But I mean, this year has been different. A lot of the restaurants I eat at in general, like people don't really do that. Like,
yeah.
I don't just go to Applebee's. Like I go to fly ass shit where like people don't do that in general. They'd be, you know. Everybody's respectful, man. It's all love.
Nah, that's what's up, man. Because I know that's always a tough thing for people. Now, another thing that you always do that this is the reason why I really fuck with you. I always used to do this thing when I would go online and I would say, "Yo, I'm Uber dad. I'm out here with my sons. You know, driving them around, not getting paid for this." You didn't actually jump in a whip. You used to go pick up your daughter. What was it? In a bicycle, bro? Like, you was that from school? Like, would you go pick her up at school and then ride back?
Yeah. Yep. We used to have a blast with that. She kind of outgrew the seat now, but
Yo, how gangster is that, bro? Yo, how gangster is that? Like, I don't think we would have saw that in the 80s or 90s with people in hip hop. Like riding around with their daughters on the back instead of putting them in a nice Beamer or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, nah, we're all about that. We're all about, I mean, don't get it twisted. Her mom got a nice car, but, you know, I'm all about the bike life and I don't even drive. I haven't had a license in 10 years. My shit expired 10 years ago and I just never went to get another one.
For real?
Yeah, I don't care. I actually love driving, but it's a headache in my life because, one, I travel so much when the world's normal, at least. I travel so much that, like, having a car is a headache.
Yeah.
And it's like, you got to worry about where to park it. And, you know, where I live right now, there's no garage or anything near it. So it's like the street parking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, you talked about, you know, always traveling and stuff like that. Before your daughter was born, you guys were heavy on traveling, especially like on tour with Joey Badass and shit like that. How has that changed?
I stopped going on tour with Joey, I think, in 2018. Maybe, yeah, it was like 2018. I was like, you know what? This is getting to be too much. And I felt like I was missing. I was there for all the big moments, but like I was lucky. Like I would just get lucky when I was flying in out of town. I saw her crawl for the first time, her walk for the first time, her talk, all that. But it just got to the point where like it wasn't worth it for me to be on the road as much anymore. You know, I did an 8-year run with Joey where we did man, probably 1,000 shows together. Mm-hmm. But it was like to the point where I don't want to really tour with the artist anymore. I mean, when this opens back up, I'm sure I probably will to some extent. Like, you know, I still DJ for Q-Tip. I still DJ for a couple of artists. But I'm sure the gigs are going to be crazy when the world opens back up. So we'll see. I'll be out and about, and it's all good. But now I'm at the point where, like, I can have a conversation with my daughter, like, on FaceTime when I'm gone. Like, the last time I toured, she couldn't really have full conversation, so it was different, you know?
Yeah, how hard was that for you? Like, were you at nighttime, you know, FaceTiming with her and then, like, telling somebody, like, term, like, yo, I got to get back home? Like, were there nights like that
yeah,
that you were like, yo, I need
to be flying home. Every day off, I was flying home. Like, I spent so much money in 2015 and 16 and 17 just flying home of the days off. Like, I'd be in, like, Amsterdam and I'd fly home and then fly back out and meet them in, like, Sweden or some shit. Like, I did that a couple times.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about your presence, right?
Not a couple times. I did that dozens of times. But, you know, I always wanted to just be back home. And I had, like, an anxiety flying at that point. Like, I was like, before my kid was born, I used to get on airplanes every day and go, you know what? If this plane goes down, knock on wood, it's all good. I lived a dope life. It is what it is. And as soon as she was born, that attitude goes out the window. And it's like, nah, I gotta get home to my baby. Like, it's different.
Yeah, no, it's a fact because I heard you mentioning something like the day before she was born, you were with Term and y'all had beef with somebody. And then
it was a late night, like just random New York street fight. But like I broke my hand. It was like four dudes on me and Term. And thank God neither one of us got hurt. Like I knocked out three of these dudes. It was a crazy fight.
What was that? Yo, that was the Boston side or the New York side? Or yeah, a mixture of both?
Boston side like really fucked me up, bro. Like growing up, like just with that anger and like reaction and like temperament, like it's just some Boston shit. Like if someone said something you don't like, you punch them. Like it was a really bad mentality that I've grown out of since I had my daughter. And like it was bad for a long time. I'm very, very lucky I never got, you know, really hurt or arrested more times. I've been arrested a couple times for it, but never got like a real case. Mm-hmm. But I'm very blessed for that because there's been dozens of fights in New York City that I should have, you know, the outcome could have been a lot worse. So the universe had my back.
Yeah. So how do you balance that, bro? Like, how do you balance, you know, not beating somebody down for acting crazy? You know what I mean?
You got to watch how you move. And that means you got to distance yourself. You can't even give people that opportunity. Even when I'm in like a bar now, I don't stand like around people because people will, you know, step on your shoes or push you or be mad rude. And it's like little things like that. I grew up with a different mentality. So yeah. I play the corner. I'm at a table. Like and now with COVID and all that, it's like moving forward. Like unless I have a designated area, like I'm not trying to sound like an asshole. I'm just being realistic. Mm-hmm. Because some people can be like, oh, who do you think you are? It's like, man, I earned this shit. So if you want me in your spot, then guess what? You got to have a designated area, and that's it. So, and, you know, I don't plan on hanging out a lot of the spots I used to hang out anyway. Like, I only hang out at spots that I really mess with, so.
Yeah, that you ride with. I'm with you on that. You know, it's hard.
It's a different story.
Yeah, I'm with you on that because I think like sometimes with for your own safety you kind of like step away from the madness, right? And anybody that thinks that is wrong, they're crazy. You know what I mean?
My every single day of the week schedule was pick up Harley from school, bring her home, hang out with her, play with her, go get dinner. And she goes to bed about 8:30, 9 o'clock on school nights. Mm-hmm. And I would go straight to the studio, work until about 1-2 a.m. and then go to the clubs and hit like at least 4 clubs on a dead night. Like my lifestyle was insanity. Then wake up, do it all again every single day. Like pre COVID, that's how it was. And that's not including getting on the planes or, all the events or this or that, concerts, all that. Like, this was an everyday schedule. And it's like, that was the real balancing act. And then this year became a whole different version of it.
Yeah. How has this year shifted, man, now with COVID? Because now you're home more, but you still got to make moves. So how has your presence shifted?
I've been on 4 flights since March. And back in prior to March, I probably, in the first 2 months of the year, I was on, 20-something flights. And then it's like, everything just came to a halt, and it was, time to reevaluate the way things are going.
Yeah, when you're hustling like that, right, there's opportunities that come up that sometimes you can't really pass up on, right? Like, has there been an opportunity that you thought you had to take, and then you took it? That maybe you had to do something with your daughter and you took that opportunity instead and then came back and said, nah, I'm never doing that again. Like, I'm never choosing an opportunity over her.
Nah, I've never really done that. Like, it just, we'll either reschedule or figure it out, but I've never had to do that and regret it ever.
Yeah, that's tough, bro. That's tough because I think a lot of people lose heart.
Sure it will happen. She does so many things that I might miss a dance recital or I might miss something. I'm going to do everything I can not to. But at the end of the day, my overhead's crazy. Like if I got to do Coachella, I got to do Coachella. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I feel it.
But if it's something small, if it's something, that's not worth it, then I won't do it. It depends what it is.
Yeah. And I think that this is one of those things that with parenthood, you can't always be there, right? There's just certain things, certain times that you can't be there, but you're going to be there for the rest of them. So it's you got that goodwill already. You know what I mean? Like, you got the bank.
I was just talking to Primo about this earlier today. He was talking about how management and different people were feeling a certain way about, he just goes to all his son's baseball games. He does not leave. And he was talking about a really big situation he got that he delayed because of that. Like, he goes to all his kids' baseball games and that's it. Like, he's not changing that for no one, and I respect it. Like, he was talking about, the conflict there, but he sticks to his guns, so I'm sure I'll have to make those kinds of decisions too, but right now I don't have to, that's the silver lining of COVID.
Yeah, no, that is the silver lining, man. What else is the silver lining? Like, I know you haven't, she's 5 years old, you haven't done a lot of class trips, but I saw you take a trip with her to see, the cause dials. Like, is that something that you're doing there?
Yeah, that's fun. I mean, that's just every day, running around the city stuff, but we made it into a thing. And, we collect a lot. We collect a lot of cars and bear bricks, and she gets a kick out of it.
Yeah. Now that's dope because I did that when COVID first hit. I did that with my sons. I took all of them, it was a field trip, and we took them to see all the Biggie murals. And they have no idea. They know the music, but they have no idea who he is. But it was something for me. So how often
if you ask Carly right now, you go, who's your favorite rapper? Her automatic response is Biggie Smalls is the illest.
What? What? You got it on heavy rotation around it?
Not even. She knows his music. She actually knows his son, CJ. I've had her FaceTime with him and send him videos and all that. But she just knows that's daddy's favorite, and it makes her favorite,
No, time out, man. You got all of these people in your Rolodex, right? How are you going to teach her to be humble, bro? Not because you're a humble dude, right? So how are you going to teach her that? Is that just follow my actions, or are you going to stop by and tell her, you lucky?
At the end of the day, it got nothing to do with what you own physically or what you, it depends on who you are as a person. And you can be humble when you know that your skill and your heart is right. Like, at the end of the day, there's a lot of nice people that ain't that good at what they do. And it's like, people give them looks just because they're nice people. I don't think that's the case either. It's like, I get my looks because I earn them. And at the end of the day, my music speaks for itself and my DJ skills and all that. So it's like, if you have confidence in that and you still do the right thing by people, you can't lose.
Yeah, yeah. You do both. Yeah, nah, I feel you on that. I feel you on that. That's a big deal. You know what I mean? With the, like, that's something that I always want to ask people like you. Like, how do you keep your kids humble? Because I think sometimes we forget. Like, I'm not a big dude, but I want my child to have confidence. And it's trying to balance that, where it's like, now you can still be a good person and still think highly of yourself too. You know what I mean? Like, know that you're in a better position.
No doubt.
Yeah, man. So now you take on these field trips, right? What else have you done that's more like your style that you're trying to put her onto it? Like, what other things do you like to do, like, just to chill, to, you know, spend a day with her besides calls?
I mean, we play Star Wars a lot. She loves Michael Jackson. Like, that's her favorite thing in the world now. So she watches Thriller 10 times a day. Mm-hmm. She likes to come to the studio and play records and DJ. And she loves music, but besides all that, like, she loves to draw. Mm-hmm. She loves to watch you know, different movies. We do movies nights. I only have her 3 days a week now, so. Mm-hmm. We make it work. Like, we do movie night. We go to certain restaurants. She loves, you know, she loves her steak and sushi and all that. Her palate's growing, which I love. Because at first, she wouldn't even think about sushi or any of that.
Oh, so you're putting it on.
I mean, shit, I wasn't eating sushi until I was like 20-something. I wouldn't touch that when I was a kid.
And now you're loving it?
It's different generations. Like, my parents my parents don't eat sushi to this day. So it's, yeah, like... I've obviously been around the block and seen a lot more, and just, you know, tried different things in different cultures. So it's dope that my kid gets to do that so early. She's been to Japan. She's been to Hawaii 4 times. She's been to Puerto Rico. She's half Puerto Rican, so it's cool. She went to Puerto Rico a couple of times. She's been to Florida. She's traveled a lot. She's already got passport stamps and all that, so it's dope.
Yeah, you mentioned that you've been around the block and shit like that. Like, how do you propose that, or how are you going to teach her that, yo, like, dad had a past, right? Like, maybe you're being raised here in New York City, but I'm from Boston, and this is how we used to do it when I was growing up.
Yeah, I mean, all that comes with time. She knows that I'm from up there, but, you know, I've been here almost half my life now, and it's like, I'm definitely proud to be a adopted New Yorker, so.
Yeah.
It's all up. But she's born and raised, her mother's born and raised in New York, like, she's a New York baby. She was born in Manhattan, raised in Brooklyn, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, going back to what we were talking about with the music, like, I don't really know how the business side of it, but I would love to, the business side, how it works. I would love to find out, like, when you had your daughter on the album work, right? And then you also had her as the vocals and the beats. How does that work? Yeah. Like, does she get writing credit? Like, does she get a writer's credit? Like, is she there?
You can start a publishing company for your kid and they can get it when they're 18, but you can't, like, sign up a writer on BMI or ASCAP if it's not 18 years old. You can't do it. So I'm sure there's a way of, like, finessing it, but you just can't do it. So I think the way to do it is you set up a publishing company and you put somewhere on paper that it becomes theirs when they turn a certain age. But I don't really have to do that with her because all my music becomes hers at some point anyway, so it's all good.
Yeah, yeah. Now, that's still crazy, though, because it's still crazy to be able to tell somebody, yo, right click on Spotify and there's credit there for her. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that, like, that's all about the legacy. Like, how
she's executive producer too.
That's crazy. That's a legacy builder. Like, this is something that's, yeah, never going to leave her. You know what I mean? Yeah. So how are you pushing, yeah, the legacy, bro? Like, are you going to be one of those dads that tells her, yo, I'm static. Like, I did some crazy things. I expect you to do more. Or do you just want her to, like, enjoy life?
I want her to do what she wants to do and enjoy. You know, she's spoiled, and I get it. I always said I wasn't going to do that. I think it's a little bit different having a daughter than a son, because I would be a lot tougher on a son. Mm. But she's daddy's little girl, man. Like, I want her to just enjoy it. And, you know, she got to value things. And, you know, I show her videos of what the world's like, and, you know, that there's kids places that don't have food, and I tell her not to waste food and to really be thankful. And you know, I'm not religious, but I definitely pray and thank the universe every night for everything, you know?
Yeah, nah. Now, you got to believe in something, right? Like, you got to believe that something out there is keeping your good karma in place, you know what I mean? Whatever religion that is.
You got to just believe in yourself and, like, really just know that what you do will come back to haunt you if you do it the wrong way. And just, you know, try to make the best example. But I definitely found my faith this year as far as speaking to you know, I don't know. If it's praying to God, that's what it is, but it's definitely not, you know, Jesus or Allah or any, like, I don't believe in one particular religion. I just pray to whatever is, you know, put the right energy in the universe and hope it comes back to you.
I think that's interesting, man, because I was raised Catholic, but I'm the same way where I believe that it's not a religious thing. It's just I know there's somebody up there. You know what I mean? Like, I know there's somebody bigger than me. That's all.
You know, there's things to take away from the Quran and from the Bible and from, you know, Buddhism and all these different religions. You can take away different things, and that's cool. But I just don't believe in the division of, you know, like, to me, it's like kind of population control, and it's just led to a lot of bad things that have happened over man-made things, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy that we even segue to that, because, like, my wife she's Chinese and Puerto Rican, and she don't believe in religion at all. So it's one of those things where I got to be the religious one, even though I'm not. You know what I mean? Like, I got to tell them, yo, let's go to church. Let's do Sunday school. All the things that my parents made me do that I didn't like doing. So what are some things that you think you're going to be telling your daughter to do that she might not like, bro, that you might have to force because it's like a family tradition? Is there anything?
We had her doing drum lessons for a while. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't really into it. Even though she still got a drum set and all that, she got good rhythm. If anything, I hope it taught her, you know, how to keep a beat. But I'm definitely going to try to get her to get more into studying music and understanding it. Because, you know, I tried as a kid and I never really got into it too much. Mm-hmm. And look where I ended up. Like, you know, I can't really play piano that well, but I understand the notes. And I understand that I play a lot of my own bass lines and music, so it's all good. But DJing was like that was what attracted me, and just that's what I've been doing for the last 25 years.
Yeah, and you know, one last question, man. Like, what made you come back and drop another project, bro? Because I thought your last project was over. Like, I thought this was it, and then now you give us the balance in that. Like, what's up?
7, and then I did 8. So after 8, it's like I'm at 9. I gotta get to 10, man. I gotta get to 10. So I'm definitely gonna do another album. It's not gonna be anytime soon.
Are we going to have more drops by Harley, bro? You going to include some more? Give us some more writer credits, bro?
She wants to. She actually voiced the Halloween special on Shade 45. She did a drop for it. And they hit me back like, yo, can she do more drops? They love the way she did it. So.
Nah, that's what's up, man. Like how, yo, once again, how crazy is that, bro? Like, how crazy is it to come from Boston? You know, you said you were young buying stuff. You were like 13, 14 years old working to buy stuff. And now you got your daughter representing before she's even 14, bro.
I brought my whole family to Water Country off of selling lemonade, man. I made a couple $100 a day selling lemonade. Like, I used to sell anything I could. I was selling baseball cards. This is when I was like 8, 9 years old. I used to sell baseball cards, comic books, all that.
Yeah, that's insane, bro. So what do you think? So what are you going to tell your daughter if she comes through and she starts selling baseball cards, bro? Are you going to tell her, chill, or I want in?
Nah, you're passionate about it. I'm behind it 100%. My mother was like that, so it's all good.
Nah, you're 100% in, man. And I saw a picture when you were doing Star Wars. It looks like you were on the floor playing Star Wars with your daughter. Is that correct?
Oh, of course.
So how crazy is that to just sit there on the floor? Like, are you chilling there for like? I'm not trying to be disrespectful, right? Are you trying to do it? Are you doing it for the gram for 20 minutes, or are you there for like hours, bro?
For hours, man.
And what you do? You throw some music on in the background and chill, or y'all just chop it up?
Star Wars, all that. That's every day. Every day I got her at least.
Nah, I love it, bro.
Shout out to Rex, man. My brother Rex said a very inspirational example as a father early in my life. He had kids, you know, years. His kids are taller than me now. And I'm actually the godfather of one of his sons. And he, you know, he was one of the first people I got to see be like an everyday dad around their kids. And he just flew up here. He brings his kids on the planes and all that. He's up here now in Brooklyn. So shout out to him for always being a good dad gang before the brand existed.
All right, so with that being said, let me give you one more, man. For people like us that were born in the 80s, right, we weren't taught to have a collective like that. Like, we had our crews, but now more than ever, the collective is more important. Like, how important is it for you to have other fathers in your circle?
I mean, it's everything. Like, we got to, you know, everybody I know, I think I have, like, one friend now that doesn't have a kid, like, maybe two. Everybody got kids now, and it's like, it's part of the evolution of being a man, bro. It's important, you know.
Yeah, and it's dope because when you got the collective like that, like, you don't even got to force the questions. Like, you could just be chilling, having a couple shots, and next thing you know, you're talking about your kids. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it just comes naturally. So that's dope. So what's next for you, bro? Now you got the balancing act out. What's next?
You know, this album with 2 Chainz, the mythical project that's been sitting here for years, it's finally coming. Me and Black Dot are working on something. Mm-hmm. A lot of music, man. I just want to enjoy the rest of this couple weeks of the year and just go into 2021 full blast.
No, I don't know how you do it, bro. Like, I've watched you since COVID started.
When I'm not with Harley, bro, I'm in the studio. That's it. I'm not bullshitting. I'm not doing nothing but in the studio and parenting. That's it.
I mean, that's real. And I think that's probably the best advice we could give any father. Like, you don't bullshit with fatherhood. You know what I mean? You come through, you represent as a dad, and then you handle whatever other things you have to handle to accomplish that. Right? And that's it. So handle business, handle your family. That's all we really need. So that's dope. So, all right, so what's the best way for people to find you, man?
Instagram, man. At Static Select. Chain 45, Thursday night, 7 to 9, Show Off Radio.
That's what's up. Well, Static, man, I don't know how much to thank you, bro. I know you running around since I started. I think since COVID started, I've been watching you on live like every other week doing something, either with Monster, Mass Appeal, like you're everywhere, bro. I don't know how you balance it, but I'm glad today you gave us a little bit of it. You know what I mean? Like, you told us some of the insights. So thank you.
No doubt, bro.
You gave us that sneak peek.
To
the fathers out there, no one ever said fatherhood and everything that comes with it was easy. But when you care like we care, like real fathers, you get shit done. The balancing act can't happen without you there. Make your presence felt. Fatherhood is lit. Thank you, Static, once again.
My man, peace.